Praise the Lord, church. Well, tonight, we want to share with you, what goes on in our studies, and hopefully we can share this burden with you too. Brother Portman, will you pray? I just want to open with Matthew 25 and 36. It says, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. You can be seated. Isn't it amazing that a God so high, so powerful, is touched when we minister to someone in need, how he cares that much. Amen. No, I'm honored to be part of that ministry, honored to be up here. And if Pastor were here, I'd thank him for allowing me to be part of this. I want to tell you a little bit about the studies. We have about 10 to 12 men who come regularly, who are faithful. And we always have visitors coming. It's 100% bilingual now. We started out just in Spanish, but we've had to go over to being bilingual because we have a mix in there now. You know, it takes place in the classroom, and we have a choir, or they have a choir, rather, that comes in, and they minister in song. And of course, we put time aside for prayer. Sometimes it's like a regular service here, and it's such a blessing. Sometimes I have three services on Sunday instead of just two. Right now, we're teaching Search for Truth. AFC is known in there for strictly teaching out of the Word of God. Everyone knows that when AFC goes in there, they're going to use the Word of God. It's not going to be just opinions or talking about the Bible or talking about Jesus. You know, we get to take them into the Word. Amen. And that just pulls them in more. When we talk to them about our own experiences, we give our testimonies and examples of what God has done in our lives. That also just pulls them in, because it's not just someone talking about Christ again, talking about the Bible. It's things that have happened in our lives, the power of God has moved in our lives. And that makes me think of Acts 4 and 13. You don't have to turn there. But this is part of the verse. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, there's a difference when you come in talking about what Jesus had done in your life, how he's moved, the miracles, instead of just talking about him and talking about the miracles that happened in the Bible. You know, these are real. They've happened in our lives. You know, and they can tell what's real. And that shows that there are still a lot of people out there who are hungry, who are searching for something real, for some truth. You know, today we spoke to the men. We told them what Pastor asked us to share. So we asked them, what would you like the congregation to know? What would you want to tell them if you were here? And one guy, he mentioned that when he first started, it was during Brother Grueling's teachings, and that's how he came in. Boy, they give so many testimonies. But basically, what they were saying was they like that we use the scriptures, that we strictly use the scriptures. In fact, in another study, one of the men who has been coming, he stood up and he spoke about the Spanish ministry. He said, in the Spanish ministry, they're going to use the scriptures. They're not going to go to the right or to the left. And they're going to stick to the scriptures no matter what. And that actually brought some visitors. And a couple have stayed. I like the style that that this team has. There's unity there. And you can feel it. Brother Galicia, Sister Bogner, Brother Pete Carranza. You know, when someone is teaching, the others just yield. You know, that person's in charge. We come supporters. And there have been some who thought, maybe Brother Galicia's in charge. Maybe I'm in charge. Maybe even Sister Bogner. But the truth is, Jesus is in charge. Yeah. You know, we're always waiting on the Lord. We're always waiting on the Lord. And we never try to take charge and say, this is what I want to do. We're always sharing with each other and asking each other if this is okay. I would like to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Even though we heard it already, and we also heard it yesterday morning during prayer. And it's not a coincidence that, you know, that was read twice already. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, of bond, of peace. Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the people who come in. And it's not to lift them up, but I want to tell you about them because I want to tell you about the burden that I see in their lives. I see the burden when they teach. I see the burden when they're praying for someone. Brother Galicia, he's always ready. Always ready. You know, I don't know how many times it happened where I think I have an idea. You know, I go to him and say, hey, why don't we get some tracks with this information on them? And he reaches into his book bag and he says, hey, I got some. You know, or I tell him, hey, let's make up some flyers for this special service. You know, we'll tell him this and that. And there he goes in his bag. Hey, look, I made some up. You know, it goes to show that God is in charge, not us. And honestly, I don't know how many times that's happened. I was tempted to look into that bag and wondering, is that a magical bag or what? I can tell when we're praying for someone. You know, I'm wiping my eyes every service. You know, I'm always getting emotional. But I don't see that as often in Brother Galicia. But when we're praying for someone, I see that they're getting stammering lips or they're about to receive the Holy Ghost. He gets so emotional. And that just touches me. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Brother Galicia. His name, boy, people just rip that apart sometimes. I've heard him called Brother Galicia, Brother Galica, Brother, you know, so many other names. But if anyone should pronounce his name right, how about his brothers and sisters? Okay, so I'm going to give you a little lesson. Okay? It's Galicia. Remember, well, you older people might remember it. Gomer Pyle? Golly. So that's how it starts. Galicia. Everybody repeat it. No, I'm just kidding. That's good, brother. And Sister Bognar, I want to tell you a little bit about her. You know, whenever we're discussing what's going on in the prison, or you know, sometimes we fellowship afterwards and we talk about the prison. I don't know how many times I've heard her say, oh, I'm going to cry. Don't say that, it's going to make me cry. You know, she's like a mom. She notices everything that goes on in there. After the study, she'll be like, did you see him? Did you see him? His hand went up a little bit. You know, did you see him? This guy over here, he was participating. Or, you know, this gentleman over here, he looked like he was really enjoying the service. She gets excited about all those things. And I like her style of teaching. She's always bringing up things that are information that's relevant to them. And she's a lot of fun. The guys just love it when she comes in. We all love it when she teaches. Like Pastor always says, church should be fun. And it is. Praise God. We also have a lot of fun in there while we're interpreting. Sometimes one of us is teaching in Spanish, and I don't know why, but we'll go into English. Then the interpreter has to switch too. And, The guys in there, most of them are Hispanic, and our Spanish, I don't speak Spanish as fluent as I'd like to, so a lot of times we make mistakes, and sometimes they laugh at us, sometimes they laugh with us, but fortunately they also help us out. The last thing I want to say about Sister Bogner is her style of teaching. You know, it's more than super. Excuse me for being a little silly right now, but I like to say that her style, that she is super duper. You know, you'll find that in the dictionary. That word, super duper, is actually in there. And I bet if you look at an illustrated dictionary, we'll find a picture of Sister Bogner in there. Brother Pete Carranza, he's not here today, so I can get away with saying this. Out of the three of us men who started in there, I think his Spanish was the weakest. But he doesn't let that get in the way. When he has some information or a message he wants to get across, he just goes for it. He just goes for it. He doesn't care if he makes mistakes. I'm the kind of guy who gets self-conscious. But like I said, he just goes for it. And like I said, sometimes, you know, they'll laugh at the words we use or the mistakes we make, but they always help us out. But Brother Carranza, he's an example to those guys. He's an inspiration. You know, that they admire what he does, what he has done. Where he's come from, he's always sharing that. And Pete is one of those guys who's always telling them, hey, don't take our word for it. Study yourself. He's always telling them, you know, about, we can't spoon feed you. You know, you got to get in the word yourself and search for the truth yourself. And I think I'm cutting my time short, but with that, I'm going to yield.
Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to hear from three of the team of four that's been going in on Sundays, every Sunday in between services. I mean, I think about a regular Sunday, and if you ask me to do anything, I say no, because it's Sunday, right? We're busy on Sundays. Did you know? Don't you know we have a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening service? I mean, it's a lot right in itself, but on top of the two services we all participate in, they're going in and giving the remainder of that day, what's left of it. What a sacrifice that is. And when I think of Brother, oh, I'm going to mess it up now. Brother Galatia. Galatia. Okay, let's practice when I'm not up here with the microphone and everybody's listening, all right? I want to learn. When I think of Brother Galatia, I know that was wrong again, sorry. I'm messing this all up. I think of the men's prayer night when we still had men's and ladies' prayer separate, that God did something special. I don't know if it was the first time I experienced this kind of prayer, but it certainly hasn't been the last time, where all of a sudden you go from praying to, you know, God is moving in the Spirit, to all of a sudden God is just out of control flowing, and you're just happen to be there, but it's through you. And when you get to those places, you don't want to leave. And I think this was my first experience, and it goes back a few years. But like, do you remember that night? It was one of the last men's prayer nights I think we had before we got into the Saturday morning prayer. And you know, you start to become part of a body when you have those experiences one with another. Your love for one another goes deeper when you have those experiences one with another. And so as we all get to have those opportunities to go deeper with God one with another, it's how we get knit together. And so I can say with confidence, I love this brother, Galatia, because of the things and the opportunities that God has made available for us to go through together. And so, Brother Galatia, would you come right now and share a little bit about what's going on at the prison?
Praise the Lord. I've been really sweating for 3 days, ever since I heard that I was going to speak. Degree doesn't work. But since we're keeping this light, I'd like to teach you how to pronounce Rodriguez. That's never offended me, but thank you. Thank you, brother. I'd like to start with a couple of scriptures myself. I'd like to read John 15 and 16. It says, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And also I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 7 and 17. But God has distributed to every man as the Lord has called everyone. So let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Before I start talking about the prison ministry, I just want to make sure that I give God all the glory for this ministry. So I just want to say praise God. I want to make sure that he gets the glory and not none of us, because that's not what it's all about. And in John 3 and 30, it tells us that we must decrease so he can increase. And that's all we want to do. And take forth his word to those guys in prison, and let them feel what we feel here. And like Brother Rodriguez was saying, sometimes it's a service. It's an anointed service, and it doesn't come from us. We don't do anything but just praise God, and it all comes in. I know Pastor's not here, but I was going to thank him for letting me speak tonight. But I'm just thankful for this church, because Pastor preaches it straight. We all know that. He doesn't waver from the truth. And that allows us to go in there. And even though some of our Bible studies are outlined already, we stick with the outlines and don't waver from the truth. You know, it's always what the word says, just like Pastor always says. And I love that about him, you know. And that allows us to go in there and with confidence, not get shaken if somebody challenges us, and we get challenged quite a bit. And so we just stick, it's just right here, what it is, and we just stay with it. Amen? So I just love what he teaches, nothing but the truth, the apostolic way. And on a personal level, I just want to remember Brother Grueling always, because like Brother Rodriguez said, men are still remembering his teaching in there, you know. And for many years, me and Brother Grueling sat here before we went to the prison service and talked about the lesson. And And it's always nice to have your own personal concordance sitting right next to you. You know, if I had a question, he had an answer for me. So he helped me a lot. And I used to love going to his house and getting taught by him. So I also like to thank all the men that go in there and the women that go in there in the prison, not only on Sundays, but during Saturdays and all that. You know, I feel like I'm the least of you all, and I see you as pillars. I look up to you guys, you know, and I mimic what you guys do. And we do have a lot of fun when we go in there. Amen? And so I'd like to start with a quick testimony before I get going. And this morning, Sister Jenkins teaching about fear couldn't have come at a better time. You know, it didn't stop me from sweating, but it couldn't have come at a better time. The song service, my goodness, it was great tonight, but there were certain songs that were sang in the morning that really ministered to me. And let me go to Romans 8 and 28 real quick. And we all know, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, it's always awesome the way God works things out, you know, when you're nervous, when you're, you know, when you're going to speak in front of people, you know. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a bit nervous up here. And I've been that way since I was a kid. You know, I used to get up to read in front of people, and you could hear it in my voice with other friends, little kids. You could hear it in my voice. It would tremble, you know. And so a few months ago, this is my little testimony. A few months ago, I was diagnosed with a high PSA level, which is the prostate numbers. And according to the numbers that I had, it should have been cancer. And so for the first time in my life, I was actually facing, we know we're all going to die if God tarries, right? So for the first time in my life, I was facing the fact that somebody would tell me, you only have so long to live. And so I was seeing sort of like an end. And I got besides myself, not scared, but besides myself saying, well, God, I haven't even started ministering to anybody. I didn't feel like I've done anything. I'm still talking to guys at work. And he said, exactly, you know. And so what he did is he took this fear of me always talking to people or in front of people or with people, and he put an urgency in my step, because you never know when your last breath is going to happen. Amen. And I just want to go ahead and say that, and I told Pastor this, while I was going through all this, everything came out okay, but when I was going through this, there was still a peace in my life. I wasn't scared, because I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know who I'm living for, but I don't take it for granted, because I've seen men and women walk away from this truth that I feel were holier than I am, but that's just the way I felt, and they walked away, so that's always scary that it could happen to any one of us. So let's not take that for granted ever. Amen? So for the last plus 2 years that we've been going into the prison, we really have a liberty in there to preach, to teach, to minister to these men. When we first started going, actually, we had such a liberty, we didn't even think it was a prison. You know, we walk in whenever we want to. We leave a half hour later than we should have. But like anything that anybody does for God, which is in truth, the enemy doesn't like. So the enemy stirred up some people in there, and they decided that they would make sure that we follow the rules, which is no problem, because rules are rules. They're the rules of the land. And so we started to, now there's certain things we cannot take in, certain things we can't do for guys. We can't, like, we used to lay hands on them and pray for them. And that's the hardest part for me. Because today, as we were worshiping at the end, there was one guy that comes in once in a while, and God got a hold of him, and he started to cry. And I saw him, and I couldn't remember his name. But I just wanted to run up to him and start praying for him, laying hands. But there's cameras all over the place, and you just can't do that. And so you have to restrain yourself sometimes, you know. And the first guy I'd like to talk about in the prison is Juan Lopez. Juan Lopez, you've heard stories of him. He sat up there and made fun of us. I wasn't in the church at the time, but about, you know, lifting of hands, and all this stuff. God has a way, like Brother Rodriguez said, of arresting people to arrest their attention. And he gave his testimony today, and he's on fire for God. And the thing with Juan is he's been a great help for us on the inside with the translating. And it's all in fun. I mean, we pronounce the words not too great in Spanish, but they don't do too good in English either. So we don't laugh at them when they see Tutti, you know. But anyways, we all laugh together about everything. And Juan Lopez, and most of these guys, that he's almost going to get out. And he's embraced Brother Bearer, and he sort of looks up to Brother Bearer like a father. And Brother Bear has ministered to that man a lot, and he knows his scriptures, he knows his things, you know. And the great thing about most of these men that I'm going to talk to about is when they get out, and they are going to get out, most of them are going to go back to another country, you know. And you might think, well, that's kind of too sad, but actually that's all in God's plan, I think, you know. God has everybody where he wants them. He's going to send those men out into little villages in Mexico. And as a matter of fact, there's one guy that, Ayala, who got out a few months after we started, maybe a year. And he called me one time. And I know we're not supposed to have contact with him, but he's out of the country. He's not in this country anymore. And he was in a little village building a church. A church building for the people from the ground up, you know. And he had this knowledge, the Bible knowledge, to take with him. He was going to teach them truth, because, you know, countries like Mexico, there's a lot of statues and things like that, right? So truth is really not found too much in there. They love their God and everything, but they're just too far from the truth. And so another inmate I'd like to talk to you about is Mancera. His name is Uriel Mancera. And this guy came into the church a few months before Ayala left, and he picked up the guitar and he started playing it. And he didn't sound too shabby, but he didn't sound the greatest. But you should hear him today. Well, he sounds pretty good. But anyways, he told us a testimony where he's just writing everything down, because he's going out of this country. He's writing everything he can down. And this Ayala, because he was in and out of the classroom, and he told him, you need to commit. Once you commit, God will do a lot of things for him. And God has actually restored a relationship with his daughters, you know. And so he knows the value of being in God's will, right? And then we got Juan Rojas. This man came in. You can almost say he was kind of hard. Sat there, you know, no expression, no nothing. And finally, he, with all the teaching and everything, nothing we did, but he finally allowed God to touch his life. And I never seen a man more humble in my life. Even with his handshake, you can feel it. And he used to love coming in and hugging, but that's also a no-no, so they took that away from us. But still, you know, he knows that we love him, and he loves his church and everything. And you guys heard about a guy named Iran. Pastor mentioned him at the last baptism. This guy surprised us by signing up for a baptism. We thought he was already baptized. And the day that we went into the baptism, there he was, signed up and ready to go. And he told us, I wanted to surprise you guys. And I said, well, you did a good job, you know. And during other services, we just thought he was sort of like a hard guy that didn't want to lift his hands. Found out that he had a bad shoulder. This is as far as he can go up. And one day, Sister Bogner told him, you know, well, just raise it as far as it goes, you know. And so he did. He would go so far. But when he came out of the waters of baptism, the first thing that went up, his hand, his arm. And this man has a hand with three fingers missing, so they're like this. And I believe that's the hand that went up, if I'm not mistaken. And the following week, we were talking about it, gloating about it, you know, the experience, the whole, everything that comes with baptism. And we asked him, our brother Rodriguez explained to him, you know, God could have instantly healed your hand, restored your hand, and gave you all your fingers if he wanted to. He goes, but he gave you something better. He gave you a weapon to lift up his name, to lift up to him. So he lifts up his hands quite often now. Praise God. So then there's an inmate there, Carlos. I was going to look at his last name today and I forgot. But he likes to call himself Carlitos. And one day, a while back, we were teaching something that wasn't about baptism. And he just blurted out, what can I do to be saved? And it was like, well, we told him the baptism message, Acts 2 and 38, the whole works and everything. And he says, okay, when is your next baptism? We told him. And somehow the time was changed and he never got a hold of the new time, so he missed it. So he says, I'll get to the next one. And then between there and the next time, he decided that he wasn't going to get baptized in there. He was going to wait till he left and got out of there. And, you know, if you're filled with God's Spirit, you know, you got the same qualities God has. God doesn't push anybody. We're not pushing them. We're just giving them the information. You know, you just got to be ready because you don't know when your time is up. And now he's telling me the things that I told him. And it sounds like this time he might get baptized before he gets out. So if you remember his name, Carlitos, keep him in prayer. Because he has a thing in his head that if he gets, that he's going to do it when he gets out. But I'm going to say about 80% of the time, they don't do it. Once they get out, they go back to the neighborhood, you know. And we do have some failures. You know, not everything is hunky-gory there. We got guys that come back in because they made a mistake and they can't. We make a mistake, we come to the altar. They make a mistake, they go back to jail, you know. So, yeah. Another thing I'd like to talk about is when God calls you, and we read that he shows us, he chooses us, right? When God chose me to do this ministry, and by the way, it helped that I knew a little Spanish. I didn't know if I really wanted to do it or not, but I never got to say no, you know. So I just went ahead and did it. And when you give it your all, and that's what we try to do every week. You know, God gives us the desires of our heart, right? If we go back to John 15 and 16, the last part of that message, he says that whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name, he may give you. And God knows that I've been wanting first shift for a long time. And I don't know if some of you guys noticed, but I've been here on Wednesdays. And I'm not on first shift, but God has allowed me to be on first shift. He's given me the desires of my heart because I'm being faithful to him. And two months ago, I went on a two-week first shift. That's it. And it's been 2 months now. And right now, I got two more weeks on first shift for sure. But it's not up to them. It's up to God. If God wants me on first shift, he'll keep me on first shift. But also, since he's put me on first shift, I'll make sure that I come on Wednesdays. Because if I start not doing that, he might put me back on second really quick. Amen. And these were just a few of the things that go on in church and or not in church, at the prison. And I'd just like to thank this church body for the prayers that you have. You know, it's Brother Fish says it the best. For him, it's not a burden, it's a passion. You know, and if you get passion in something, go for it, do it, give it your all. And God, like Pastor says, he rewards you abundantly. You know that. Amen. So I'd like to thank you, church, for all your prayers. And with that, I'll pass it over. Thank you.
Brother Galatia doesn't only minister in the prison, he ministers, he has the ministry of donuts on Saturday morning. Amen. He and his wife, give credit where credit's due there. And, you know, those are just examples of the many, many things that the body of God will do. They'll invest in places, not looking for recognition, not looking for anything, except they see a need and they fill it. They see a need and they fill it. God points something in their direction and they do it. And that's the way the body's intended. It's not about how can we structure it, how can we organize it, let's have a planning session. God has got the perfect plan. All we have to do is listen. And so I'm so grateful for that men and women in this church are listening for that voice, listening for those opportunities. And it's not just for a select few. It's for every one of us. And so our last evangelist, missionary to Racine Correctional Institute, I'll say this. A few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, Sister Bogner came down and we asked her to teach youth on a Wednesday night, the senior youth, and she did a marvelous job. And so another example of doing things and filling wherever there's a need. She also has taught the altar workers training course, I think, three times. We had a train-the-trainer class that she's taught, and she, every time she just has this ability, this unique skill to communicate, to educate, and, you know, God's given her that ability. God has put something inside of Sister Bogner that allows her to educate, to train, to teach, and to minister. And as she was coming, as we were introducing her to the youth, I said, and this is true of all the people that have spoken tonight, but I said, when you young people, when you look around the church body and you look for someone that you want to aspire to, an example, Sister Bogner is exactly that kind of person that you want to aspire to. Not because she comes with some special something that, but except that she has made herself available to God over and over and over again. And God has used her over and over and over again. And so as our last missionary evangelist to Racine Correctional Institute comes, Sister Bogner, would you come right now? Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, church. I want to first say how very thankful and blessed I am to not only be here, but to be a part of this church body. You will never know how much your prayers and your support have not only helped our ministry, but has helped me personally. So I just want to extend that thank you. I also want to say how incredibly blessed I am to be teaching side by side with wonderful men like Brother Galicia and Brother Rodriguez, Brother Carranza, Brother Fitch, Brother and Sister Mike and Nibia Smith, who have come in and have ministered through music to the men in the prison. And I feel like I am so not worthy to be standing next to them. So I thank all of you for all the time and effort that you have given also. And even though Pastor's not here, I'm sure he'll listen on the podcast. So thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here tonight. So as Brother Galicia and Brother Rodriguez said, the men in the prison are come from all over. In fact, they come from different places, such as Brother Galicia said, Mexico, or as I say, Mexico, Honduras, Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo, Guatemala, Colombia, and so on. And when I first started, and I know when they first started, because I started just rough few months, or maybe, what, 6-7 months after they did, most of the men in there could not speak English. And in fact, I think pretty much none of them could speak English, and I couldn't speak Spanish. So we needed the interpreter, which is where Juan Lopez came into place. And as Brother Rodriguez said, we now have a bilingual Bible study. And because we now have men that have joined that don't speak any Spanish, they only speak English. But one language that they all speak is they all have a hunger and a desire to know Jesus. They all have a hunger and a desire to know truth and to have freedom, a liberty, what we have every day. They want that. So in some sense, we really are no different from them, aside from them, they are in there and we're here. We all still have a desire and a hunger for truth and for freedom. And so as children of God, it is our job to then take what we have and share it. As we heard God say so many times, that we need to stir up the gift that he has given us and share it, because it's not just for us, but it's for us to share with others. So when I started in the ministry, one of the first things that I saw within the prison was the lack of unity, and I know we've talked about that already. They were kind of separated. So on one side of the room was the men who spoke only Spanish, and on the other side were just the English. It was like Hatfields and McCoys in the room, and they were just separated. And whenever someone would ask a question or make a comment, someone on the other side would make a little remark, because there was no unity yet. And so that was something that we needed to teach them. They didn't trust each other, and as I said, they would sometimes make fun of each other. Many of them would sit, especially when I would teach, initially when I first started, they would kind of sit with their hands folded and just not glare, but stare. Like, what are you going to teach me, lady? Okay. And when I saw that for the first time, I was reminded of the scripture in Jeremiah 1:8. And it says this: "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Because I'll be honest, I was afraid of their faces, because they weren't smiling. I didn't know if they really truly wanted to be there. But so we began to teach the men about the day of Pentecost, because they had no unity. We started teaching them about the upper room experience and how unity and submission was the key, in getting the Spirit of God to move within their life. And so, as the Word of God went forth, God began to break down the barriers between them, and we started seeing unity within them. So they no longer sit separated. In fact, they are all mixed up together now, which is a wonderful thing. They save seats for each other. They pray for each other. Before, we had a ban on praying, laying hands, or, although I never laid hands on them. Whenever we used to be able, the men used to be able to lay hands on each other, but they can no longer do that. But they used to do that for each other. They started praying for one another. And now when someone makes a comment or has a question, they're quick to respond and help them and say, I'll pray for you, brother. They started calling each other brother. They started understanding what unity actually meant. Praise God. In fact, there was a guy today, his name is Chris, and when we had asked them about what they would like to share, one of the things he said about the ministry was that he had been in so many other different ministries within the prison, but he would kind of come in and go out and people would change and he would go in, wouldn't see the same people. But with this one, he said, it's always the same people. I know when I come in, I know who I'm going to see and where they're going to be standing and where they're going to be sitting, much like in here, right? And he said, it's like a family to me. And that's what the children of God are. We're family. Amen? So another thing that was unfamiliar to them was worship. Most of them, being Hispanic, had come out of deep within the Catholicism, and as Brother Rodriguez and Brother Galatius said, a lot of us were raised to pray to these not necessarily to the statues, but what the statues represented, and so. Many didn't understand the type of worship that we were bringing in. So for quite a while, we would worship and they would just stand and watch. What's going on? And that was okay because we were really setting the example. So they started singing some of their songs. And as we mentioned, a lot of them did not have a lot of experience. Brother Uriel playing the guitar, I'll just tell you, it was not good. He did not sound good at all. It was like, bing, bing, bing. But okay, yeah, that's nice. Praise the Lord. And so he would pray. He would play his guitar. And the men would sing. And they were kind of all over the place. But and they just couldn't seem to get that anointing. And then we found out that there was another group that were playing music within the prison. It was more secular music. And so some of the men, they were having an issue because they wanted to be able to play and practice with this other group so that they could get better at playing their instruments and singing. And just like the rule is here, if you sing or what have you on the platform, you certainly couldn't be playing in a band at the local tavern as well. And so we told them, and they were told that you have to make a choice. You either play there or you play here, but you can't do both. And so when they made the decision, they made the choice that they were going to submit to the Word of God and began to play only in our choir and only for our services, the anointing just came in. It was amazing how now their music is just flowing. Uriel is like a seasoned guitarist now, and they sing like a heavenly choir today. And some days I just walk out of there because I am just amazed at how well they sing. And it's not because of necessarily the effort they've put in, but because of their submission, because of their willingness to want to please God. They no longer wanted to play instruments for themselves, but now they have learned to fall in love with a God they didn't know and now wanted to please Him and play heavenly music for Him. Amen. Amen. So another thing that they were a little confused about was prayer. Prayer to them was a bit mysterious. It was really unknown. It was, you know, you play very quiet and you do the little signs and all of that. So when we started praying and we would pray out loud, you know, you'd open your eyes and they're looking right at you, thinking, you can almost tell what they're thinking. What are they saying? But they started listening to the words and they started hearing prayer that was scripture. And they didn't understand that. So we had to teach them about prayer. What is prayer? How do you use prayer? And the power behind prayer. We had to teach them that it wasn't just words you say, but it was an act of faith that you show every day. And so where they used to stand quiet with their hands folded in front of them for prayer, now, in fact, today, there were 12 men in there today, and every single one of them, with the exception of Uriah, because he was playing the guitar, every single one of them had their hands lifted up in the air, and they were praying and singing songs to God. Salvation. That was another big one. They had no idea about salvation. Now, a lot of them had heard about salvation, but they didn't really have a full understanding of what salvation is. And if they did, many of them did not believe that it was something they could attain because of their past. A lot of them felt like it was too late for them. So in order for them to understand we first had to teach them about grace and mercy. We had to teach them about forgiveness. And we had to teach them that forgiveness is not just a word that you say, but it's an act that you do every day, every day. And so once they understood that concept, it just is amazing how they treat each other, because I think there was some tension with a few of them within the classroom. But once they understood grace and mercy and how what you extend to others will be the measure that is extended back to you, they didn't like that scripture. But when they understood that, it taught them to now extend deeper grace and mercy to others, because they wanted it back. Not only did they want it back for themselves, but they wanted to be able to share it with their families. They wanted that with each other. One man, Uriel, actually said, and we had been teaching them about mercy, because actually it was Brother Rojas, it was. He was really upset because something had happened to one of his daughters in his wife's care. And he said to us, he is so mad that when he gets out, he has to get his mind wrapped around Jesus, because if he doesn't, he knows when he gets out, he's going to do something to hurt the person that hurt his daughter. So how do you minister to that? How do you tell him, no idea? Well, what we told him was, you have to learn to control those urges here. You have to allow God to take care of that, to put that in his hand. You need to pray for your daughter. You need to pray for the man that hurt her. You need to pray for your wife and allow God to intervene, because if you don't get that under control here, you'll never make it when you get out there. And he understood that. Now when we come to church, Brother Rojas says he's still upset, but he has said, I'm going to let God deal with it. I'm going to let God take care of it. He stands with his hands up in the air. He's singing, he's twirling, he's dancing. This was a man who 2 years ago stood with his arms crossed, and he wanted to believe nothing. But he came to the class because he had a desire to know God, but he wasn't sure that he trusted what we were going to teach. But it wasn't necessarily our teaching, but it was the Spirit of God that moved in and broke the barriers that kept him from trusting. Amen? So temptation and freedom of choosing, that's another one for them. Though it's elementary for many of us, to the inmates, surrendering to temptation is really a way of life. It's all they've known. They just surrender to it because that's all they have. And so they also did it because they didn't have a savior. They didn't know a savior. They didn't know that they have other choices. And so for us, we had to come in and teach them that the other choice is Jesus. And not just Jesus, but the power that is in the name of Jesus, the power that they truly could have that would allow them to make the choices that they need. So as we began to teach and introduce them to Jesus, because a lot of them had heard about Jesus, but not many of them knew who he was, or who he is, I should say. And so we had to teach them that Jesus was not just a name in a book, that Jesus was not just a word that you spit out when you're angry. Amen. That Jesus was not the third person of a Trinity. Amen. but rather we had to teach them that Jesus is God, that Jesus is truth, that Jesus is their salvation, and that Jesus was, is, and always will be all power. Amen? So as these men began to step out in faith, that song we sing, when you walk in the room, he does. Jesus started walking in that room, and we could hear chains falling, and we could hear an army rising up. When you think of an army rising up, we think it's here in the church, but the army rising up is behind bars. It's in your neighborhoods. It's at your job. It's people who are chained, and when you talk to them about the name of Jesus, he breaks those chains, and the armies begin to rise up. Amen? Amen. So now the men have liberty, and though I loved going in the beginning, now, as Brother Galacia and Brother Rodriguez said, now it's fun. Now it's fun for us, because now we get to stand back and say, look what the Lord has done. Because here, these men, they had no anointing before in their worship, and now that's all you see. You can almost see it. It's just thick with the anointing of God as they sing his praise and worship. The Spirit of God just flows in there. We see it in the way they dance. We see it in the way they speak. We see it in the way they pray. We see it in their testimony. So today was a day of testimonies for them. And as they begin to speak and tell each other testimonies, it lifts up the faith of the other men. And they begin to weep. As Brother Galacius said, Brother Miguel was his name. And he's been there for a couple of months, maybe, he's been coming into the group. And today was the first time we saw him. He was singing away, his hands kind of halfway. He was doing the T-Rex stand, you know. I'm not quite sure if he's going to put his hands up. But he had it about this high. And the tears were just coming down. And that's tough for them in the prison. A lot of them don't want to let their guard down. They don't want to allow other inmates to see them cry. But that shows you the unity that God has built within them, that they have begun to trust each other, that they can be free in that place, and that they can help each other and pray for each other. They have all learned that there truly is power in the name of Jesus. They embrace the name, they declare the name, they worship him, and because of it, they now are free, and their chains of bondage are broken. And we hear it. Every time we go in, we get to hear the chains falling. In Matthew 28 and 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And I know we can't all travel to all the nations, although we'd all like to, we can't do that. But as I said before, all nations is here. They're in the prison. They're in your neighborhoods. They're at your job. They're in the supermarket. They're everywhere you go. That's all the nations. And when we step out in faith and begin to teach the power that's in the name of Jesus, God can break chains and God can begin to build his army greater than he ever has before. Amen. So one, as we said earlier, we asked them if they could stand here and share with you one thing that not what necessarily AFC has done or what we have done as a ministry or what the ministry has done, but what God has done for them. What would they want to tell you? And I'm going to quote from Brother Rojas. And Brother Rojas was the one that I told you twirls all around the room. As soon as he walks in, the men are still practicing their music. And he's already has his hands straight up in the air like somebody's holding him up. And he's singing and he's clapping and he's twirling and he's going from one end of the room to the other until there's no more music. But this is what he said. He said, I am thankful to AFC for sending teachers to help me and my brothers understand wisdom and to learn salvation and to learn to stand firm in the Word of God. With all of my heart, I am grateful to you all. That's to all of you. That's to Pastor. That's to us. That's to God. And so these men as we said before, are going to take this message. They long to take this message. They're going to take it back to Honduras, back to Santo Domingo, back to Mexico, back to Dominican Republic, and they're going to share it with their families, with their friends, and with their neighborhoods. And because they're going to share the power in the name of Jesus, listen closely, church, because you may be able to hear the chains breaking, because God is still raising up his army. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, the Bible says a good report makes the bones fat. That the power of our testimony is the best thing we have going for us, our experiences, your experiences with God. You know, I said earlier, how many of you would like to donate the remainder of your Sunday in between the two services? And I know my flesh would like to not donate that time. But I don't sense that there's any sort of concern over these examples' time on a Sunday or on a Saturday or on a Wednesday night or whenever they go in. It's not a sacrifice when you start to see the power of God transforming someone in front of your very eyes. Let's all stand tonight as the musicians would come. I know I talk a lot about junior camp, and it is, for me, just this amazing week of the year. But a lot of times as I talk with other people about it, they say, yeah, that does not sound like fun at all. You know, 28 to 12-year-old boys in a room. I'm going to bring earplugs next year. It's, you know, every year I get a little smarter, a little better. But when I see how God transforms those lives in 5 short days, it makes me want to give all that much more. I came home from this junior camp wanting so bad just to go right back and do it all over again, because there was no price that would have been too much to see the power of God move through those young people again and again and again. If you're here tonight and you're saying to yourself, I don't know if I've ever experienced that, God wants you to experience that. He's designed the church to reproduce after its own self. Well, I don't think I'm qualified. God didn't ask you if you're qualified. He just said you're called. And the thing all of us have is a testimony. It's the most powerful weapon. Church, I believe God is asking all of us to extend ourselves a little bit further, a little bit farther. And as we do, he's going to show us his power in a way that we'd never seen it before. And it's going to cause us to want to extend ourselves even further. And so tonight, as we open up this altar, whatever it is that God's been talking to you about, whatever it is that you've been questioning, I don't know if I can do that, I would ask you tonight that you would talk to God about it and ask him for his help to open up that door, to show you how you can do that thing that he's been asking you to do, so that he can show his power to you. And that his will would be done, because he's called all of us. And I'm just grateful tonight for the testimonies. Can we give God a round of applause? Thank you, Jesus.